In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. When my wife and I went to the Holy Land, we, of course, wanted to go to Bethlehem, and we had made all the arrangements to do so. We had met a Muslim taxi driver in the Muslim quarter of Jerusalem who was willing to take us on a personal tour at a reasonable price, and we had planned to do this on a Friday, being aware that the Saturday might be an issue in Israel, but thinking that Friday would be okay. But what we discovered was, is because of the pressure of the Orthodox Jews, the really hardcore Jews, the trains don't run on the regular schedule even on Friday, even though it's still a work day, because very early on Friday they already start shutting things down because they're so careful about observing the Sabbath. And this is one of the things that you have to keep in mind when you're reading the Gospels, because that was what was going on there. That's why the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, even though they were happy to see Christ crucified, were anxious to have the people who were being crucified taken down from the cross, because they didn't want them to be hanging on the cross, laboring for their lives, laboring to breathe, and breaking the Sabbath. So they were concerned about them breaking the Sabbath, not about violating the commandment, "Thou shalt not murder." Likewise, those who were disciples of Christ, when Christ's body was taken down from the cross, had to very quickly make arrangements for his burial. And Joseph of Arimathea was the one who made these arrangements. And he's talked about briefly in all four Gospels. And each of these four Gospels bring out some aspect of who he was. So I'll just read them very briefly and talk about what they say. First with Matthew. "When the even was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea." So we're told he was a rich man, that he was from Arimathea, which is a town. There's some dispute about exactly which one it is, but it's not too far to the north of Jerusalem, either near Ramallah or Nablus. He was named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. So we're told that he was a disciple of Christ. "He went to Pilate and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb." So this was his tomb, "which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher." And then the Gospel of Mark, which we just read, I won't repeat it all, but what it adds is it says that he was an honorable counselor. And when it says that he was a counselor, what does that mean? It means that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, so he would have been there at the trial of Christ. And the fact that he's referred to as honorable means that he was someone who was respected by everyone. The fact that he was even able to get an audience with Pilate and talk to him about getting the body of Christ showed that the Romans respected him, because if anybody just off the street had said, "I need to speak to the procurator," they would have probably been told to go about their business if they didn't want to be beaten and run off shamefully. But he was able to do that and to speak to Pilate and to get Christ's body. The Gospel of Luke says, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor," so it repeats the fact that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, "and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the council and deed of them." So he was there, he heard the trial, and he was one of the lone voices that said, "No, he's an innocent man." "He was of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid." So this was a new tomb. "And that day was the preparation," which that's the word for Friday to this day in Greek. It's the day of the preparation for what? The day of the preparation for the Sabbath. Some people try to say that the Gospels are not clear on what day Christ was crucified. It's not true. All four Gospels say he was crucified on the day of the preparation, Friday. "And the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And then finally, the Gospel of John says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes and with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." Unlike most of the disciples, who prior to the crucifixion had been openly disciples of Christ, but at the time of the crucifixion, became secret disciples and were hiding themselves for fear of the Jews, Joseph of Arimathea took the opposite course. He had been a secret disciple for fear of the Jews. But when Christ was crucified, when the danger was greatest, because he was an honorable man, he was the noble Joseph, as we sing in the hymns, he openly declared the fact that he was a disciple of Christ. And he went and he asked for the body of Christ and buried him in his own tomb. We're told by tradition that the Jews were angry with Joseph and that they imprisoned him. But that after Christ rose from the dead, Christ appeared to him, freed him from his imprisonment, and explained to him the meaning of the resurrection. And then after the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were sent to the various parts of the world, he traveled with a group of Christians who were 13 in number, and which included St. Aristobulus, who was one of the 70 apostles and was the first bishop of Britain. And we're told by tradition that Joseph of Arimathea carried a dry hawthorn staff, and they stopped to rest at what is now known as Wary All Hill in Glastonbury, and he stuck it in the ground as he went to take a nap. And while he was resting, that staff blossomed. And this is in Glastonbury, is in southwest England. St. Joseph and those who were with him brought many people to the Christian faith, and the British were among the very first peoples who became Christians. And England was a Christian nation, an Orthodox Christian nation, for 1,000 years. St. Joseph reposed there, and he was buried in Glastonbury. Now, one thing that's interesting about this thorn that blossomed is that, unlike other thorns of similar type, this thorn blossoms on the Feast of the Nativity. It also blossoms in May, but it blossoms in the winter, which is unusual. Other thorns similar to it don't do so. What's interesting is in George Washington's lifetime, when England switched to the new calendar, people wondered, what will happen? Will the thorn blossom on the old Christmas, or will it blossom on the new? Well, it kept blossoming on the old Christmas. It was a custom for blossoms from this thorn to be placed on the table of the king on Christmas for their Christmas feast. And they eventually figured out how to force the thorn to blossom early so that they could have some blossoms to put on the king's table, but it naturally blossoms on the Feast of the Nativity to this day. During the time of Cromwell, who was a Puritan, cut from the same cloth as our fun-loving Puritan New England fathers, tore this thorn out from the ground because he considered it an object of idolatry. But people had taken cuttings from this thorn and planted it in various places, and so its daughter thorns had survived, so the custom continued. In the year, there was one that was planted on the very spot that Cromwell had ripped it up, and unfortunately in 2010, some pagans vandalized that thorn and it died, and it's been removed. But there still are daughter thorns that continue to blossom, and they continue to naturally blossom on the Feast of the Nativity. So may the Orthodox faith again blossom among English-speaking peoples, though at the present be like a dry stick, through the prayers of St. Joseph of Arimathea and the Holy Apostle Aristobulus of the 70. Amen.